What's up, everybody? You're listening to the What's On Your Mind podcast. This is your host, as always, Dre Emerson. Driz, however you know me by. And on today's show, I have a special guest with me again. Lyric is back on. She's here to talk Wakanda Forever. What's going on, Lyric?
Hey, everybody. Happy to be here.
It's been a long time coming. I know we've been plotting to get on some dance like a while back, but, you know, we're finally doing it now. That's all that matters. Finally doing it now. So, like I said, I got you on to talk Wakanda Forever. After that, we're going to get into War Games, which was last week.
Yep,
last week. We're going to get into that later, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that if you're big wrestling fans, because I know Lyric's got some stuff to say about that. All right, so we're just going to dive right into the big topic of the day, Wakanda Forever. Crazy movie, what a movie. I got so many thoughts. So first, before we get into it, I'm going to just give like a little general discussion, general little summary about it real quick. Obviously, if you're listening to this, it's going to be with spoilers. So if you're just here for the WWE talk, just go ahead, skip forward. We gave you 3 weeks.
Facts.
Gave you 3 weeks to watch it.
And Black people, really, all y'all needed was a week, honestly.
Honestly. You were supposed to show out for it, so. I can't help you at this point. So in this movie, the motherland Wakanda is recovering from the passing of the beloved T'Challa, who we know played by Chadwick Boseman, passed in real life. So this movie already had like a heavy toll on it. So we see not only Queen Ramonda and Shuri have to grieve the death of the Black Panther, but we see how losing a protector, the nation is more vulnerable to threats, because in the first one, Killmonger burned all the heart-shaped herbs, or, you know, the plants. So they can't revitalize the Black Panther. And so, like I said, Wakanda has been vulnerable. Rival nations have been trying to steal vibranium. It was an epic scene in the beginning. We see Auntie Bassett laying down the law, giving the gospel, telling these nations, don't fuck with us, because we still got the fire. We still booted. We still got everything. Like, the nations, they tried to attack an outreach, Wakanda outreach post, and got quickly handled. So fast forward, the new threat in this movie is the people of Talokan, who in the Marvel comics are originally the people of Atlantis, Atlanteans, led by Namor. And him and the people, they wage war on Wakanda after some deaths on both sides, and they couldn't reach an agreement on combining their forces to take over the world. But the main death, the most important one, the one that broke my heart, Queen Ramonda, when she died, sick.
Yeah, man.
Sickening. So, through the movie, we see Shuri, she goes on this epic arc, which we'll talk about later within the show. And she finally becomes the new Black Panther after finally remaking the plant. And the movie finishes up with a battle between the Wakandans and the people of Talokan, which they reach a stalemate because Shuri, she finally realizes the cost of war after, and she spares Namor. And then later in another scene, we see Namor, who feels confident that the people of Wakanda needs them more than the other side. So they both left. We finally get to see an epic villain survive on camera. And then probably the best moment of the film, the one that absolutely broke me, the post-credit scenes, we see T'Challa and Nakia had a son named T'Challa too. And that was the movie. What was your thoughts, Blair?
Whoo, man, like, it's like one of those movies of just, I think, I didn't expect it to start off that abruptly. Like, it, like, the way it starts, you know, like, typically for Marvel movies, you wait to see that big Marvel Studios logo and then, like, the, you know, the comic flip.
Right.
But it went straight from that little I saw it in AMC, so it goes straight from that little commercial of Nicole Kidman just sitting there in the movie theater, and then, boom, you in Shuri's lab, and it's T'Challa dying. It's like, oh, damn. It's so intense. It was so intense in that first 5 minutes alone that obviously every Marvel movie I end up going to see multiple times, but like, I was just like, this is going to be a lot and I'm going to need to watch this multiple times to process it.
Yeah.
But that movie was special. I think it was like what I've loved specifically about Phase 4, and a lot of people have hated on Phase 4, but I've actually
a lot of haters.
What I love about Phase 4 is that Marvel has gotten so big. So the reason how I believe that they stay fresh is because every project in phase four has given us a different genre. It's been a completely different project. So WandaVision, they gave you sitcom. Like low-key is like this weird science fiction. It's like, you know, What If is a damn cartoon. Right. Then you have like these movies. You have Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness is this horror film. Yep. And then you have Thor, Love and Thunder, which I actually like. It's a rom-com. And then you have Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And it's this heavy drama. And I feel like this was a film that even if you're not the biggest Marvel fan, even if you're not in the superheroes, like, I feel like everybody could connect with this film. I felt there was something for everybody, specifically, I think, for Black viewers. Like, everybody knows what it's like for, like, the, you know, that big leader in your family to, you know, die and, like, having to figure out what's next and navigate, like, you know, the paths and, like, you know, the community and, like, and yeah, it was so special. And there's so many different layers of just, like, I feel like Black Panther, out of all of the Marvel franchises, has always had the best villains. Always had these great, nuanced villains who you can't, they're the way that they go about things is wrong, but you kind of understand why they do what they do.
You always understand.
Like, even with Killmonger, like, and they, like, they're not wrong. They're just wrong in how they go about things, but they're not wrong. And I think, like, it was just special. I will say, like, that first Black Panther film, I feel like we got to know a lot of these characters, but we didn't get to know them because obviously T'Challa was, you know, the centerpiece. But I feel like we got to know these characters in a completely new way. And I think the introduction of Ironheart was spectacular.
Oh, yes.
Spectacular. It was just a great film. And I mean, it pulled on me emotionally. And I think, like, it's very rare, like, you know, superhero films make you feel things like that. But, like, that was, it felt very personal. And I you can tell, like, the cast, that was very special to them. And I honestly, like, even when you go, like, the beginning of the film, the funeral and everything, you can tell, like, in their own way, that was them, you know, actually having a funeral.
Right.
Like, actually, like, you know, mourning the loss of their friend. And it was just special. And I don't think we don't get to see a lot of that in today's age because everybody's just putting stuff out. And I think in streaming culture, and I think even with Marvel, sometimes it just feels like, you know, they putting stuff out because it's on schedule. But that felt very carefully done. Very carefully done. Very much attention to detail. And also valuing humans above all. And I thought it was just fantastic. Like, I think it's a top five Marvel film. In my opinion, easily.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love how you, like, broke it down with, like, the different genres and stuff. Like, this was a heavy drama movie. Like you said, like, that first few scenes, boom, it's just dark. Boom, you're in the lab. T'Challa's dying. Like, I was instantly, like, choking up. Like, I'm, like, trying to eat my popcorn. Like, I'm grubbing. Next thing you know, I'm like, God damn. Like, I can't even eat. Like, I'm choking up. I'm crying already. Like, how many times did you cry during this movie?
Man, listen. And you want to know what's crazy? It's funny that you mentioned food. Because, like, I went twice. So the first time I went to a regular AMC here in Columbia. The one in Harbison. And then the second time I went while I was in New Jersey. And I went to a dine-in theater. And both times, I tell you, those first 10 minutes of the movie,
man,
like, you can't hear nothing. When I say nobody was chewing, nobody was drinking, nobody was eating, nobody, like, when I say everybody stopped, it felt like, you know, it felt like we were at a funeral too, you know? And I felt like I personally was paying my respects. Like, I couldn't even move. Like, everything I had bought, I couldn't even touch it because I was until, like, you know, that had passed it. And, like, I'm not sure I've ever connected with a movie like that before of just, like, I feel like I got to shut up too.
Right. Like, look, you know, it's funny you say that. Like, it's literally, like, the moment, like, when you found out in real life that
No,
Taylor died. Like, you, everything just froze. Like, you just like, what? Like, did this really just happen? Like, that's like the same feeling I felt like in the movie. Like, I just froze up. Like, I'm over here choking up now. Like, I was just like, damn, like, this is hard. This is hitting. It's tough. Then they go through this beautiful funeral scene, and it's just, you just see all the emotions on all the actors' face. Like you said, you can just tell, like, this really meant a lot. It was really special. It's carefully done. Like, this, like, the whole movie was just an emotional roller coaster. And I really like how you said we got to know the characters, because that's one thing I was going to say, was like how we got these great scenes between Shuri and Baku, and we just see like his character development and how like he became like from just this like this warrior that wanted to just become leader to like the central piece of Wakanda and like wise. And he's just like, he's like the voice of reason in this movie. And like Ironheart, her introduction, I can't say enough about it. It was amazing. She's a hustler. I always loved
that. Yeah, yeah.
She's a hustler. Like, she's first thing you see, she's a hustler. She got some funny quips. She's going back and forth. And then, like, the suit, like, dude's like, oh, she got an Iron Man. Like, I was like, oh, this shit about to get lit.
She's literally Tony Stark, yeah. But got it out the mud. Tony Stark, who got it out the mud, didn't grow up with no rich dad. Like, that's crazy.
That's hard.
That's how you get us to invest in a black superhero for real. Like,
right. And then like that scene where she's like going up and like she's counting, like she's trying to figure out so she can hit the drone. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was just, that whole scene, I was just, dang, like this is hard. I really like that scene. And then just like the overall acting in this movie is just amazing. Like, I just, the plot, I really enjoy the plot. I really like, and we're going to talk about like Shuri's arc, like I said, but just her arc and just going through and like the symbolism of how she's just like, at first, like she's just like so reliant on technology. And not to say like she don't like rock with her culture, but she's just like more reliant on her technology. Like, she's not, like, she didn't want to burn the grieving thing for T'Challa, and it just comes full circle. The movie just comes full circle for me, I feel like.
Absolutely.
And then the villain, I can't say enough about no more.
Top five Marvel villain in my opinion.
Top five. Honestly. And then, like, my favorite part of the movie, and this was like most, the part I enjoyed the most, was like how when him and Shuri, they was going through like Telecon, they're exploring it, like that song that just starts going up, da 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 da. I was just like, man, you just seeing the world, you seeing all the people. I just really like that part. I wish we could have saw more of that, but the movie was amazing. Top five Marvel movie, easily the best movie in Phase 4. I don't have,
I can agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Such a great movie. When Angela Bassett, when she delivered that line, "I'm the queen of the most powerful nation in the world." Oh my God.
Have I not given everything?
Oh.
I think like it's so crazy. Like, and you know, they're talking about how, like, obviously Marvel rules the film world, but yeah, it's not considered like cinema. So like they don't get, at least for like the acting and stuff, they never get nominated for Oscars and stuff like that. And I noticed like the week before the movie officially came out to the public, they were talking, like reports were coming out and saying like Angela Bassett might be the first Marvel actor nominated for an Oscar. I mean, it's Angela Bassett, so I wasn't surprised, but I was right. Like, let's see what this hitting on. So if y'all talk about that, I say, yeah, give her whatever she wants.
Give it to her.
Whatever she wants. And I will say, I think Letitia Wright also deserves.
Yes.
I think both of them deserve to be nominated. The acting, I mean, was absolutely incredible. Like, what they were able to convey, my God, like, yeah, man. Give them all the awards, actually.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the whole cast. Shout out to Ryan Coogler. Shout out to an amazing movie, man. It was just top notch. I, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's just straight 10 for me. Like, obviously, it's a long movie. It was a little bloated, little parts, maybe like 20 minutes you could have eased out. But like, when I watched the movie 3 times.
You watched the time of it?
Just like a little bit of maybe not so much Val and Odu. I was just like, all right, like let's shorten these scenes up just a little bit. But like I said, I watched it 3 times and it was just like, I have no problem watching it. It's a great movie.
I think that also, like, some things are theater long and some things are streaming long. Like, yes. I feel like I would have no problem sitting through it if I'm in my house, you know, just by being in a theater. I think that also can like make things feel longer.
Yeah.
And I also think like we have to, for people who don't like really watch Marvel, the Val stuff was probably, it was too much. I heard that from people who don't really watch Marvel on a regular basis. They're just like, why do they keep showing these white people?
But it's important, though.
It's very important, especially when you think Thunderbolts are coming, you know? Mm-hmm. But I have to remind myself, everybody doesn't understand how, like, everything fits in. So for the casual viewer, it was a little long.
Yeah. But no, man, like, I just... It's so much. It was just a great movie. Just a great movie. But we're going to move on. So we're going to talk about that final battle scene and the ending. What did you thought of it? We know, like I said, they reached a stalemate. Shuri had it. She could have ended it no more, but she chose otherwise. She spared him. And now the two sides, I guess, are at a peace.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your thoughts on the ending?
I thought it was great, man. Like, I think it was cool. Like, it's very rarely like we see people so evenly matched, and like just seeing like the Wakandans finally meet and they match. Cause let's be real, every time we've seen the Wakandans so far, they wreck everybody.
They wreck everybody
when they come through. You know, I ain't gonna lie, when they had them all like push back them little sea people, I said, oh, damn. I said, oh my goodness. They're like, it was weird seeing, like, you know, the Wakandans, specifically the Dora Milaje, you know, be well matched. And so I think that's what made it more interesting for me, even outside of just the Namor and, you know, Shuri stuff. But I think it was so emotional. And I think, like, they did a great job of humanizing everybody, of just like, no, you know, like Namor, he was wrong as hell, but his people still need him. Like, them people need him. And it was special. That final battle scene, like, in my opinion, I think is one of the best final battles, I would say, a phase four.
I would
go as far to say that for sure. And even like the drying him out stuff. And I love how the part of how she was able to defeat Namor was being the Black Panther. But honestly, the real reason why was her, once again, being brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figuring out how to use that ship to, you know, basically dry him out and things like that. And science, Shuri has always relied on science. That's always been her superpower. And so her using her science superpower, in addition to, you know, being the Black Panther, putting those two things together, she's unstoppable. And I think, like, I love how, even though she's taken on the mantle of the Black Panther, she's already made it her own.
Yeah, still true to herself.
Definitely.
Oh yeah, I really don't got nothing else to add to that. I mean, the ending was good. I really enjoyed it. I really like the plan that they devised. I like how everyone was involved. It was, like you said, scenes, just the visual of just like them backing it down. I was just like, damn, like they're really outmatched. Like, I mean, the people of Talokan really could have ended it, but it just had it came to that point where Shuri, and she finally gained the upper hand on Namor, and she just had to, you know, Auntie Bastet, she came through, she said, tell them who you are, and she realized this nation needs their people. My nation needs me. We can't go into war. It's too costly. We're going to lose people. It's greater stuff going on. But still, you have the scene where Namor's like, yeah, we got him right where we want him. So it's just kind of like, it's left open. We're going to see how that's going to pay off. It was a really great ending. So I have no problem with it. I know people was like chirping about like the plan to like go into the war. Like, why would you do that when they're like more powerful there? I ain't having too problem with that. I mean, how the movie went is how the movie went.
And also, like, you got to think, I think that was proof that no matter how strong you are, everybody has a weakness.
Right. So
Wakandans, they are brilliant on land. And then you see they finally made that met their match in water.
Yeah.
As you saw, like, when them people came on land, they don't do well there. So I mean, like, I just feel like everybody has their strengths, and I think that they made everybody look strong even in weakness. Like, you know that, like, them blue people, yeah, let catch them if you want to on the wrong side, they will mess you up, bro.
Right.
Like,
it was good. Honest. Yeah, I didn't really like leave saying like, oh, like, this side is weaker than the other side or anything like that. I mean, it was great. Everyone got to showcase like what they was good at. So,
and I think we all left that film saying like, hey, if they ever, like, truly for Black Panther 3, if they want to run this back, they can.
They can.
Right. They 100% can run it back, like, at any given moment in time. And I'm not sure, have we ever seen that before? Like, have we ever seen that?
Like I said, the villain, we saw the villain stay alive on camera. Like, we saw
stay alive and uncaptured.
Like, they definitely got to run it back. And like you said, I don't think all the great Marvel villains we done saw, obviously, we done saw die. Mm-hmm. All done pairs. So this is definitely like in vain different from what we've seen. So I'm excited for the future of that, just to see how they're just going to come back to this, how they're going to resolve this, and if they are going to stay as, you know, this united front or not, or are they going to wage, going to go against war against the people of the surface world? We'll see. But
I wonder also, are those people going to surface again somewhere in the Marvel universe, like maybe secret wars or something like that? Like,
yeah,
who knows?
It's a fact. It's definitely a fact. And it's definitely a fact in the bigger picture of what Marvel got planned. So I think the most best part about this movie, about this, like the front of the plot, was just seeing Shuri's art. That was like the most enjoyable, because like I said, she was going through this phase of like, she wasn't really, not that she didn't believe in her culture or anything like that, but she was just more relying on her technology. But then she starts to welcome her in her ways, and you know, she made it her own. She's still using her technology side. But what did you just think about Shuri's arc in this movie?
I thought that it was so realistic. And I think that if we watch it, you watch her walk through every stage of grief.
Yeah.
So like, what are the stages of grief? I can think of some of them. Like, I think one is bargaining, where you think like, oh, well, if I do this, I could fix, if I do, which we saw, we see denial. We see like, and then eventually we see acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she handled it as humanly as possible. And I'm not gonna lie, she better than me. Cause when that man said, let's burn it all down, hey
let's, man, do it.
I said, she a better woman than me. I said, that's why she need to shoot the Black Panther. I don't need that. Cause if you don't took, you people, hey, that, you mean tell me, have my family go and they trying to take over my city? Absolutely. I would have been like, yes, absolutely. Let's get them.
Right.
But no, like, she, I think she balanced the very impossible two choices of, I want to honor my family's legacy, but I also want to crawl up in a ball and cry for the rest of my life because they're not here. And I just think that that was so real. And I think that she's, we forget like how young she technically is in the, like, as far as like in the purposes of the movie, like, if I'm not mistaken, the first movie had her as a teenager.
Yeah, like, she was young.
Yes, absolutely. So
like, even this one, like, when Mbaku says, like, you're such a, like, you experienced so much as a child. Like, you're still a child. You just went through absolutely so much. Yeah.
And so for she can't be anything more, at least in the movie's context, more than maybe her early 20s.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
So, like, I think that, oh my God, like, you forget how young she is, how much she has experienced. She's lost her mother, her father, and her brother. And not only has she lost all of them, two of them, both of her parents, she lost to violence. Like, they were taken from her. And so, like, you have to think, and then, like, she's still so smart. And then not only that, you are now queen?
Yeah.
And Black Panther? What? Like, that's insurmountable. And I think, like, she handled it, I mean, as well as you can. And I think also, I think the dynamic with Ironheart, for her, it became so much more, because, like, that became a friendship for her, because that's the only person that we've seen throughout this entire time that's actually her age, mm-hmm, and also on her level, on her mental level. Yeah. So, like, it became more than just, oh, protecting the scientists that make this machine. Like, I genuinely believe they were friends, because, and
they needed her at that time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She needed her. And I think, even going back to what you said about M'Baku, I think that, honestly, I think his role, I think, is so powerful in this film, because, mm-hmm, like, they could have gone the easy trope of just being like, oh, yeah, now that Wakanda's unstable, he could take over and, like, you know, like, do them dirt. But, like, he showed true leadership and he showed true respect. And it was clear that he 100% really did respect T'Challa. Mm-hmm. It's also clear that he really did respect Shuri and her mother.
Yeah.
because like he really gave her legitimate advice. Like he didn't even
so wise. He was so wise in the movie.
And I think that that's why at the end she just let him challenge for the mantle and nobody stopped her because he genuinely wants what's best for Wakanda. And I think like a lot of times we don't see, and he actually tweeted about this, the actor Winston Duke. Mm-hmm. He was like, we see like the first movie was all about Black men. And you'll see like Black women pick up the pieces. And he said like in the second movie, you see like M'Baku trying to be better to support Black women rather than like you try to overtalk them. And I think that was helpful for her too, to have that support from powerful men. Like, you know, just because her brother encouraged all of her dreams, thought she was the smartest person in the world. And I think to continue to have that in that support from like, you know, very powerful men in, you know, her country, I think that that gave her the confidence, you know, to do what needs to be done, get that herb done, and, you know, explore the Black Panther.
Yeah, nah, that's, like, I think it was just great. Like, I just really like that. Like, especially, like, just the emotional moments that we had to see. Like you said, she goes through the stages of grief. Like, she's angry. Obviously, she's angry. Like, you want to wage war. These are like realistic things that you would do in that situation. So yeah, it was very real to see what she was going through, see how she processed things, and just like Letitia Wright, just the way she did it. Like, I can't say too much. Like, she deserves an Oscar. She deserves an Oscar because I just think she portrayed like what you would go through.
Absolutely, and I think like even finding the the strength to want to forgive and to lead. Like, I mean, like, respectfully, at that point, after I watched you kill a mother who was so good to me and I loved dearly, and, like, you know, y'all took my brother and my father, fuck Wakanda. We're going to war on God. We're going to war. I don't care what y'all want. I don't care what y'all want. We scrapping until I got no more breath in my lungs. Do you hear me? Like, I swear to God. And she's just like, my people don't need war. Da, da, da. The fact that she, in that moment, as a grieving daughter, a grieving sister, she still was Wakandan, a queen in the Black Panther, which is the protector of Wakanda. And that held precedent over her grief is, I think, extraordinary and outstanding. And honestly, that's what Black women do every day. That's like, that's who we are in our essence, and having to hold our head high and, you know, do what's best for the good of the group and, you know, always fall on our swords. And I just felt like that was so symbolic. And I think in the first movie, Wakanda just seemed like this special place, right? Where like Black people could have it all and it's perfect and we lit and we live and we out there. But I think this movie was a lot very humanizing for Wakanda in the sense of they might be super, they might have vibranium, but they go through the same problems that we do. The same pain, you know, same trauma and everything. The grass ain't always greener on the other side, you know, like, so I think that that was really humanizing.
Yeah, no, well said. That's well said. That's well said. We're going to take a quick little break real quick. And then on the other side, we're going to talk more about Namor, his debut. Is he one of the best MCU villains? I think we both already agree on that. Then just some other little smaller nuggets from the film, and then expectations for the future with Black Panther, and then the Guardians 3 Volume 3 trailer came out, so we got to talk about that. Woo! So we're gonna take a quick little break, and then we'll get right back to it.
They don't call him general or king, they called him Kukulkan. What is that? The feather serpent god. What? You think because we are living in the mountains, we do not have access to books?
All right, so we're back to talk about Namor, one of the best MCU villains, question marks. I think we both agree on that one so far. Top five for sure. But let's just talk about him, his role in this movie specifically. I think just that entrance of just that scene where that the Navy SEALs or whatever, they're diving into the ocean and they're talking to the... they're trying to find a vibranium in the ocean. Then the people of Talokan, they're singing. It's just so creepy. Like that whole scene, they start jumping off the boat. And then boom, they think they escape, blah, 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 stuff go down. And he just comes out of nowhere, the shadowy figure, and he grabs the helicopter and he swings that thing like it ain't nothing. I say, yo.
I genuinely wish I could see this again for the first time for that. For that reason alone. Like, because the way that they came on the scene, everybody just gets snatched out thin air. Like, the first time I watched, I said, oh, shit.
That thing, I was like, whoa. I'm locked in. I'm so locked in. I'm like just looking at it. I'm like, dang, he just really wrecked shit. Every time he was on screen, he talking that talk and he wrecking shit. And he spent that res. He had a little res on him when he was talking to Shuri. You know what I'm saying? I was like, he was like, giving her little eyes and something. I was like, okay.
If he didn't kill her mama, they was 100% getting together. I swear to God.
Man, hey.
100%.
That little res on the water, he was spending that gang. He like, look, man, we can do this thing together. I heard you. You say you want to burn the world down. I'm trying to support your dream, baby girl. You know what I'm saying?
And his mama bracelet. I said, damn. Ooh. I said, ain't you been alive for thousands of years? You know how long he been sitting on that?
Ooh, he spent that game.
That's why I said, Shuri is strong. Do you hear me? She is a weaker woman? Like, yeah.
Nah. Hey. But yeah, so what was just your thoughts on him just overall? How do you feel about him? What would you rank him as far as like just off the top of your head in that top five?
Ooh.
Is he like at the bottom of the top five, or is he like in that top tier?
I put him at two.
Ooh, okay.
Actually, no, I'm gonna put him at three because truly my number one favorite villain is, I think, Thanos.
Yeah, hands down.
I struggle of whether like Loki can even be ranked as a villain. Like, had you asked me a couple years ago, I would have been like, Loki number one. But like Loki, especially if you watch Loki, Loki's no longer a villain. So I'm not gonna count him.
Love that series, by
the way. My number two though, I gotta go with Big Wanda. I don't know. Like,
ooh.
Wanda in Multiverse of Madness was the greatest villain ever. I don't care. Like, you wanna talk about somebody who really didn't care? Like, who really had no remorse? It was really just wild Wanda, for sure. I think I would put Namor on number three, and I would put him above Killmonger because I feel like sometimes Killmonger, he was doing a lot. Like, you just down. After a certain point, he just get out of control.
Is this okay?
Exactly, and he didn't want to hear it. Like, it sometimes, but. Namor, he just had that confidence. Like, he's like, I ain't even got to do all that talking. You know how I'm coming. Like, he had it. And I think also, like, the fact that he wasn't white was great. And I think, like, honestly, I think the fact that the blue people were not white was awesome.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because, like, it was already the staging. So you have this all black kingdom that has this vibranium, you have this all Latinx kingdom that has this vibranium, and then you have these white surface people who want to take their stuff. It made it even more like home. Like, hey, my fellow minority, we got something in common. Like, yeah, like it was, you know, you could feel the solidarity until you didn't.
Yeah.
It was all good until it wasn't, literally. And so I think, like, you got this strong character of color who is just trying to look out for his people. That's all he's trying to do
at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, like, he could have been took over the surface world, but he just wants to protect his people. He just want to live in peace. And like, is his execution always good? No, but he got the right ideas. And I think that the best villains are the people who are making some sense sometimes.
The compelling ones.
Even a broke clock, right, twice a day.
So. Yeah, like you could stand behind what they're saying. Like, yeah, like he just really want to protect his people. What's wrong with that? Dude is literally chilling.
And I think, like, I will say, him, he maximized every second of screen time that he got. And the reason why is because you have to think, how many Marvel projects have we seen? In the MCU, at this point, I think we're probably at least over 30. And that means that basically every single project has had its own antagonist. Some of it has the same antagonist, but for the most part, like throughout the MCU, we've probably seen over 20 bad guys. Do you remember all 20's names off the top of your head? Nope. Probably not, because I know I don't. Nope. We remember We say top five because guess what? It's only about five we all can remember.
Yeah, that's true though. That's true. That's literally true.
Like, and so like, let's just be real. And like, Namor, for this to be his first film and this first introduction of these people at all, he maximized every second of screen time because now we will never forget them. I don't care if it's 10 years down the line. Like, you remember where certain characters are introduced, you know? And I feel like he made every second that he had count.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, just everything about him, like, just his design, the character design, the wings, like, the way he's moving, the fighting, like, this dude was, like, he was hard. And I was completely sold on him. That's why I was just, like, when I was watching, I was, like, there's no way he can die at this. Like, because I don't think Shuri can kill him. Like, I was, like, this guy's him. This guy's him. Like, he's definitely him. Top three. Like, he put on a performance. He was compelling. Everything he was saying, he made sense. He had the riz. Spin that game. It was good till it wasn't. But
then, what did Snoop say? This motherfucker don't miss.
And then that fight scene between him and Shuri at the end when they was going at it. I said, no, this dude is hard. Like, he really wrecking shit.
For sure.
Man, I really enjoyed him. And I just can't wait to see how he's just going to be involved in like future Marvel projects where he's going to be at, him and his people. And just hopefully we get to see more of like Telecon and just like just more of what they can do, more of like his subordinates and things like that. I just can't wait to see him again.
I wouldn't be surprised actually, because I know that apparently there's a Wakanda
series.
Yeah, on the table. And I'd like, especially with them being alive, I don't see a reason why they wouldn't be reintroduced, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's a good point. All right. So a couple smaller things that happened in the movie, just some smaller nuggets. We didn't really touch too much on, well, we talked about Riri, but just like her, what do you think her just future is going to be in the Marvel franchise? Are you excited for her show? What's your thoughts on her?
Like, she was great. Like, and I think that I think that like the future is so bright, because I think you have to think Black Panther was the first big experiment in the sense of the Marvel universe trying out diversity.
Right.
And when they went so big as far as like, you know, Black Panther becoming one of the best selling movies of all time, so instantly, like, that was really what sold, you know, the MCU on diversity. And then suddenly you start seeing everybody Black Day projects getting approved, and not even just Black, but people of color, like, because you got to think Shang-Chi came out, and then you know, Miss Marvel and all these different things. But Black Panther honestly made all of that possible. And so like going forward, when you see like some of these Disney Plus shows, it's cool to see like even like these smaller like characters in the comics, they're still making projects about them. And like, yeah, and I felt like this is another character that introducing themselves made every single second of their time count, made themselves memorable. And I think now the MCU has gotten so big, everybody doesn't exactly make themselves memorable. And I think the thing about this film is that, like, I think every character stuck. Everybody stuck. Like, it didn't matter if you had three lines or 300. You stuck in this film and you made yourself memorable. So,
yeah,
very excited for her future. And I'll be watching. But, yeah, and I think on a merch level and a cosplay level, it's going to be lit.
Oh, yeah. Hey, the numbers are going up.
For sure.
Disney about to make some money. Absolutely. They about to make some money. So what do you thought about Killmonger coming back? Because we didn't really touch too much on that.
Listen, when they took so long to like circle to who actually was there, I thought they had like some footage of T'Challa we ain't seen before.
Yeah, man. I was gonna be like, ugh.
I was finna jump out. Like, I thought they had some footage we ain't never seen before. So when I saw him, I think I screamed. Like I said earlier, I think Killmonger was one of my faves in the Marvel Universe, fave villains. And I felt like, you know, without being weird, because like they could have done some like supernatural voodoo shit and been like, oh, we're going to revive him from the grave with the new hot shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they just made it make sense, that made perfect sense.
It did.
They brought him back. The reason why I didn't mind it, they brought him back in a way that made sense. Kids, Shuri was in her anger mode of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she saw, and when she was angry, like, she saw a person who was going to speak to that anger. And then it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense. Yeah. And I think, like, yeah, it was a great appearance. Because I think, like, sometimes, you know, people be in dream sequences and stuff. It just don't make sense. Y'all just trying to grab for money.
Yeah.
Like, no, that was great. Like, I think that he was used perfectly, but we don't need to see him again. Like, there's no reason for him to come back. Like, there's no reason for him to come back. He did great. That was awesome. But we don't need it ever again.
Hey, man. Shout out Michael B. Jordan, man. I know he was going through a tough time probably when he was coming back. My boy done took a couple of L's, man. Shout out Michael B. Jordan, man. Get a little screen time, man. Welcome back, my boy. Welcome back. All right, so that's about it that I got on Black Panther. Final question for you. Where would you rank it out of all Marvel movies?
Ooh. So it's so funny because this year I had also said that Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness was my favorite all-time Marvel film.
Mm-hmm. I really liked that one.
I said it was in my top five. And like, I'm like, does it still stay? But I think it does. I don't know. I think Endgame was always going to be number one.
Yeah.
Until like, we probably have another ensemble film that I love more. Right. But I mean, it's Endgame, you know? Like, but I think under that, I would put this there. And that's saying something because Black Panther is not in my top five. The first one. It's not.
I don't think I have it in my top five either.
Yeah, the first one is not. Like, here's the thing. When I watched Black Panther the first time, and I think the first couple times, I mean, it was amazing. And I don't get me wrong, it is an amazing film. But when you go back, like, months and months and years later, and rewatch it, you're just like, oh, this is a little cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, we as Black people, you know, we were showing out because we ain't never had no movie before.
They were showing out in
and
a movie.
Like, the thing is, and that's still, and don't get me wrong, and I'm glad it was cheesy, especially like, you know, what happened with Chadwick. I'm glad we were extra. I'm glad we showed out, and I'm glad he got to feel the love that we had, like, you know, for the film. Like, so, I'm not mad that it was cheesy. Not mad it was cheesy, but like, it wasn't in my top five. That was all I'm saying. And so this one, though, I feel like top three. I don't know, like, because the Marvel Universe has just gotten so big that I'm not going to lie. I think I need to just sit down and, like, reconfigure.
Yeah.
I probably need to do that by the end of the year. Like, what is my top 10 at this point? Because there's just been so many new projects.
It's been a lot of great projects. She-Hulk, even just a quick little
thing. She-Hulk, man. Like, I think that. I will say, I do believe that She-Hulk is my favorite Disney Plus series.
Okay.
I
can rock with that. I really like the She-Hulk.
And if not number one, number two.
Is that in Loki for sure, for me?
Oh, Loki, see, my other one is WandaVision. Like,
ooh, okay.
WandaVision was a classic.
I like the WandaVision. I like the WandaVision. It was different. Really liked that one too.
Here's the thing. I technically liked all of them. Like, I technically liked all of them, but did I love all of them?
I feel that.
Like, some of them, like, you know, I feel like at this point, Marvel has me in a chokehold, so, like, I gotta watch everything at least once just because, for continuity purposes.
Yeah.
But, like, that don't mean I love everything.
Right. Some things, I'm just like, all right, we could just watch it. But I mean,
exactly.
Some things, I'm just like, I'm really enjoying this. I don't.
No, and there's some things I have gone back. It's only a few of the series that I've actually gone back.
Yeah, to. Like I rewatched WandaVision, Loki. I think I watched a little bit of Hawkeye. I liked the Hawkeye.
I was a fan.
I love. Damn, I can't think of her name. Haley.
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, Haley. I love her. So I really enjoyed that one. It's been a lot of projects, but yeah. I think for me, for this movie. I think it's in my top five too, honestly. Because, like, for me, just off the top of my head, I'll have Endgame, obviously. I'm always going to love that first Avengers movie. Just seeing them all together, man. I got to put that on my top five. That one.
Marvel movie ever watched.
Thor is one of my favorite characters. So Thor, I really like that one. So that's got to be in there. And I'm just thinking like, what would be the next one on that list? It might have to be Black Panther 2. At four.
Yeah, you know what? Ragnarok is 100% in my top five.
I love 100%. Ragnarok. Yeah.
Ragnarok. Oh yeah. Like I watched it so many, 100% in my top five. Yes, I agree about Black Panther. And also like, I'm interested to see if this affects anything in What If next season. Because Black Panther was actually featured, and I'm not mistaken, was it two or three episodes in What If for season one? So I'm interested to see if this influences that at all. What If was actually a fantastic Disney Plus series.
Oh, that episode, the zombies.
Oh my gosh. Like, no, that the fifth episode, so the second to last episode, when Ultron just sliced through Thanos. Let me tell you, boy, I screamed and threw my remote. I didn't know what to do. I was taking off guard when I saw Thanos die. Thanos died. You gotta think, this man who literally ended the world died in 2 seconds. I could not breathe.
And that episode with Doctor Strange, I really like that one too.
And you know, and the thing is, like, I love that What If is actually a part of the MCU.
Yeah.
That influenced, you know, Multiverse of Madness.
Great. What if is just great. Marvel, they're just doing their thing. They cooking with some grease. They got some good things coming out. People's hating on them.
CGI, we need to talk. Ooh. The stories are getting better. Mm-hmm. The stories are getting better. I will say, like, a lot of these stories, then, you know, for the Marvel Universe, like, we're getting better, guys. And I love She-Hulk. And I think the only reason why I will put WandaVision above She-Hulk, because that CGI, my God.
It was tough to watch sometimes. You just had to power through it.
And I was upset because I said, why y'all gotta do this for the woman? Like, y'all would do this. Like, and they, you know, people were already on She-Hulk head bad. And I said, why does CGI gotta be terrible too?
Don't give them more ammo, Marvel.
Exactly. So please fix that.
Pay them all workers. I know there's some little beef going on. Pay them workers. Pay them what enough.
Please get them people their money.
You're going to make some good money on Black Panther 2. Like, come on.
Because
now,
we cannot keep doing this until Secret Wars, guys. I'm telling you. So please pay them people their money.
Well, it's been great to talk with you about Wakanda Forever. But we also got another thing to talk about. Because if people don't know, you're a big wrestling fan. You enjoy it. Oh. War Games was just happening recently, and we got to talk about that because that was interesting.
Very, to say the least.
So, just what was your reactions from it? What was your favorite matches? Highs and lows. Just lay it all out.
Okay, so about War Games, I will say, like, this year I've been in my bag of wrestling as far as like really exploring different styles. So I will say, for the most part, I was not very impressed. Like, I think, like, this is the time where you realize that. And I said this, is I'm primarily an AEW stan, guys. At this point, like, somebody who's really gotten used to watching TV-14 wrestling, and also I grew up originally watching TV-14 before, you know, WWE eventually switches to PG. It's weird watching a War Games match with no blood, guys. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, it was weird. Like, it's just weird. And like, I'm like, is that not weird to anybody else? Like, is that not weird? Because, like, you mean to tell me you're in this thick metal structure, two rings, all these weapons, nobody's
out. Yep, all these weapons. A lot of discussion going on.
And also, like, it's not even just about blood for me. It's just like, it was where, like, the PG elements of WWE really kind of soured it for me. Like, I was just like,
yeah.
Y'all ain't really doing nothing. Like, y'all ain't doing nothing for real. Like, are you kidding me?
Didn't really use the confines like they needed to use it.
Yeah, and everything felt so choreographed and, like, you know, rehearsed. Like, it didn't feel like a real war, you know? And I don't know. And so, like, especially like AEW has a similar version, it's called Blood and Guts. And I think so, seeing that early and with the two rings and everything, and seeing that earlier this year compared to this, I just wasn't like, I don't know. But anyway, women's war game match. It was a good match. Like, it was a, I think it was a great match because, like, you, for the first time in forever, that was a match full of women who everybody can bang, everybody can wrestle.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the jury's out on Alexa Bliss, but whatever. but everybody else, Oscar, me and you. Who else was on that team? Oh, Becky Lynch. Becky D, returning Becky
Lynch. Man.
The man. And you got the EST of WWE, the Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair. The whole crew bang, period. Like, and then on the other side, you got Rhea Ripley. You have crazy Nikki Crossback. You have Dakota Kai, King Kota of War Games matches. The woman on the WWE roster who has been in the most War Games matches with 4. And you have Io Sky, who is also a legend in War Games. And then you have Big Bayley. You have Bayley. I'm not gonna lie, I've always loved Bayley, but I've gained a new appreciation for her this year, man.
Like, I missed her so much. She was so
real
missed.
Bad, real bad. Like, oh my gosh. And I think, like, I don't know, it just, like, I've seen the War Games matches from NXT. I will say, like, this did see a lot tamer. And I know a lot of things, especially from NXT, everything gets tamer for the main roster, and it sucks, but whatever. Like, but I think it was a good match. It was a good wrestling match. Was it a good War Games match? I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if I would say that. Like, it was a great wrestling match, though, and I think the War Game, the Women's War Games was the best of the night. Mm. I think, as far as wrestling, because the men's War Games match
storytelling
was high key trash until the last, you know.
Yeah, it was all over the place. That was just more storytelling.
Absolutely, except like, and when I tell you, Roman Reigns' facial expression sold everything. Oh, like
my boy, Roman,
when he told Jimmy to step back and send Sammy, oh my god, I felt like I said, oh my god. No, and here's the thing, like, this Bloodline, let me just go through the other matches. Ronda Rousey needs to be fired.
Boo, tomato.
And here's the thing, Shotzi is not the best wrestler in the world, but Shotzi carried that match. And Ronda refusing to take a bump, like refusing to sell, like, seriously, she makes everybody look bad. And honestly, Ronda has regressed. It's clear she doesn't train, but also this ain't the same Ronda Rousey from 2013. She's no longer the baddest woman on the planet. Yeah. She's no longer undefeated. She's not a movie star. She's not anything. Honestly, she's a has-been who honestly thinks that she's bigger than what she is. Nobody likes her anymore. She has no, like,
I say, she really don't have that too much respect in the world right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. She's not that girl no more. And I remember when Ronda Rousey was hands down probably the most popular women's athlete in the world, bar none. There was a time that we are no longer living in that times. I don't even think she cracks like the top 50 at this point. Yeah. And so, yeah, she's terrible. Please give Liv Morgan her championship back.
Yeah,
please, somebody call Charlotte. Bring Charlotte back. I never thought I would say this, but like, let Charlotte win that championship for the 18th millionth time. I don't care. Just get it off Ronda.
Somebody, please take it.
And honestly, I believe that Bayley and Damage Control should go to SmackDown because they can keep the titles and Bayley can win the SmackDown title. And then, like, but just let Bianca be in her Super Cena era, whatever. But yeah, who else fought?
Seth Rollins. Triple Threat. Oof.
The fact that, good match, but the fact that Austin Theory pinned Seth Rollins made me want to throw up. Like, and my thing is, like, why didn't you just let him beat him the other week? And I'm just like, you did. I am tired of y'all burying Seth Rollins to build up everybody else. And I know Cody's included, even though I love Cody. But my thing is, like,
my boy needs some wins.
Seth Rollins deserves to be a world champion. And my thing is, like, y'all don't want to take. And the thing is, if I just don't feel like there's a place for him right now, because you can't put him up against Roman because they're going to make him lose. And honestly, Roman should have been dropped one of them belts. Roman should have dropped one of those belts at Clash at the Castle. Drew McIntyre should have one of those belts right now, if we want to be completely honest.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of holding both belts.
He should not have. And I mean, like, I feel like he would be just as compelling with one belt. I don't know. Like, even with the Usos, I feel like they would be just as compelling with one belt. Like,
please. At the end of the day, you need champions, or you need more champions. You can't just have one person hogging it, and then every challenger you come, well, you know he's not gonna lose to him right here. What? You know they waited for a big moment. So it's just like, what's the point?
Exactly. And I mean, and then you got rumors out here like talking about something, oh, The Rock might win the Royal Rumble. Like, no, The Rock doesn't need to win the Royal Rumble. Like, that match doesn't need a championship, bro. Like, I don't know. But yeah, and who else fought?
The Brawling Brute. No, that was the Bloodline match. It was another, who else fought? I really can't. Damn, who else fought?
That might not be a good thing, especially if I can't remember, then it couldn't have been that good.
I feel like, was that not all the matches? You had the Women's War Games, you had AJ Styles and
and it hurts me to say this.
Yeah,
they did not beat the washed allegations.
Yeah.
I don't know like my boy AJ Styles been phoning it in lately, like, and for the last couple years. And I feel like a lot of these guys, like especially AJ, I would say Shinsuke Nakamura, and even sometimes Finn Balor, everybody who came from Japan, like the people who really do have that other level that they could tap into, once that they realize that WWE kind of like stripped down their style and their moveset and stuff like that, they kind of been phoning it in ever since. And I just want y'all to like, and AJ Styles is my third all-time favorite wrestler. Like, man,
I love AJ.
I need you to like fight back. Like, I met him in person and told him how much I love him. Like, man, like,
I want to see him on another real title run.
I know he got more in the tank, and I know like he's getting older, and so I highly doubt WWE is going to offer him many more title runs, if any, world title runs, if any. But dang, like, he's AJ Styles. Like, he's always going to be the man to me, and like, I would love for him to get something great he could sink his teeth into, or like, even if he could get like the deal that Shinsuke Nakamura got to go back to Japan and wrestle a match or two, like, I would love to see him back and like, you know, do like a Wrestle Kingdom match or something. I don't know, but yeah, they didn't beat the washed allegations. Anyway, men's War Games match, not really that great, except for Roman Reigns' facial expressions and then the drama at the end. Like, this Bloodline shit really got it. Like, whenever they do something wrong, like when Sammy and Jay started scrapping, I was like, oh, y'all gonna get in trouble. Stop. Y'all stop. Y'all. Like, he got me scared.
Hey, the Bloodline storyline is on a different level right now. Sammy, I just love everything about what's going on with them. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, even when Jay Uso, he had kicked Sammy, and Roman's like, what did you just do?
Yeah.
Jay's like, Jimmy's like, whoa, like, come on. And Jay's just like, come on, bro. Now you gotta stay back on task. I'm just like, yo, I just can't wait for the payoff. The payoff is gonna break my heart.
I'm seeing all these rumors about where this is leading eventually, and like, it's like, so it's almost confirmed, like, we're not getting a true resolution until WrestleMania. And like, man, you mean tell me we got so much, that's so much, it's so long but it's so short at the same time. It's like, dang, like, we got so much more to go to. Like, we've just scratching the surface, but also at the same time, like, dang, man, this is going in. Like, this has been, I will say, I think it's, for me, it's been the best storyline I've seen from WWE, the main roster, in years.
Yeah, in easily, years. Easily.
Like, and I will say, at this point, like, I will say, a lot of the WWE product doesn't interest me. Like, I'm a lot of times, I'm way more interested in AEW or New Japan or other companies like that I've been getting into. But the Bloodline is, I think, probably the best storyline going in professional wrestling at all right now. And that's what keeps me coming back every week. And like, especially SmackDown. SmackDown is 10 times better than Raw. And it's much must-see TV because of the Royal Rumble. 100%.
Nah, yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, like I said, like you said, the match, it was okay. It was fine. Everything just about that end was just the storytelling. Just like, just how they've been doing it for like these past couple months. It's just been great to see. And just, you got all these different wrinkles, Kevin Owens involved, all these, is Sammy gonna turn? Yes, yes. Oh my God, when he hit him, like, hit him in the nuts, and then like, everyone's like, damn, like, oh.
I said Sammy, no.
That was the moment. Then they hugged. I'm like, yo, like you said, it's so much more to go now. This is like just the next chapter.
I said, like, can they get nominated for an award or something? Like, I was like, who do I need to call? Because, like,
hey, they added their ass off.
Like, I swear to God, like, y'all need to see this. So y'all talk about Oscars, Emmys, Golden Globe, whoever I need to talk to. Like, are y'all seeing this shit?
Man, oh my God.
Like, tell me that anybody on whatever TV show doing better than this and doing it every week, live, every night. Like, I'm so sorry, guys. Please give them their flowers.
Yeah. And just the best, one of the best things about it, I just love seeing Sami Zayn get the spotlight and just get all this attention, get all this love from everyone.
And I remember when he won the NXT championship in NXT. And that, I mean, at that point, I think I was watching Black and Gold NXT religiously. And I was barely watching the main roster at that point, but it was one of the most emotional, fulfilling moments I could ever remember in wrestling history. And also like the original Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens rivalry. Like, yeah, the night that he won the championship, Kevin Owens had made his wrestling debut, came to celebrate with him and knocked him out. And that starts this whole rivalry. And like, to see where they are now heading into WrestleMania and they're like the center, it's so cool to see those guys win. Like, they were indie guys. They made their names a Ring of Honor, and like, they're really, those are the people I love to see win in wrestling. And like, they're awesome. And I especially Sami Zayn, because he wrestled most of his career under a mask. And I think to see him like flourish is one of the most beloved baby faces I've ever seen in my life. Like, no matter what he do, these people are not gonna boo him forever. Like,
yeah. Nah, yeah, you're dead on. I just love it for Sammy, love it for KO. Oh, I just can't wait. Oh, when they, the payoff is gonna be heartbreaking. Love the bloodline. Can't wait to watch. Hopefully they'll be on tonight. Hopefully they get a little segment. But Lurk, it's been great to have you on. I always enjoy having you. You always give great insight. I don't be thinking about it. You just be putting me on game. So it's always great to have you. You're welcome back anytime. I know we're going to have some more stuff to talk about. We didn't really get into Guardians, but it's going to be coming up soon. And for sure, Quantumania. We're going to be keeping up with everything. So you're going to be back. Basically, is what I'm saying.
Definitely.
All right, guys. It's been another great show. Make sure to follow us, follow Lyric. You want to shout out your socials?
Yes. You can follow me at Lyric Swinton, but you can also follow my Twitter that I talk about wrestling at All Elitist, capital EST at the end, and subscribe on YouTube, All Elitist.
Right. You heard it there. This has been another episode of the What's On Your Mind podcast. See you guys next time.